Stuck in a dinner rut? We've all been there, bored with the same takeout options or eaten a bowl of cereal for dinner. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with ready-to-heat, chef-crafted meals delivered straight to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a thriving community of award-winning chefs keep your meal options endlessly delicious. With a team of over 160 culinary innovators creating an ever-expanding lineup of small-batch dishes, Cook Unity serves up more than 400 irresistible meals for every craving. Plus, you can pause, skip, or cancel anytime, making it easy to find a plan that fits your tastes, schedule, and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks. That's 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks at cookunity.com/mealtime50.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Okay, so when it comes to the family today, we often talk about the mother's side and we often talk about the father's side, but when do we talk about the child? So today we're going to talk about this, torn between the two. This is the child's dilemma. So let's talk about it.
Yo, that was dope.
Yo.
That was a dope intro. Like, wow.
Y'all already know I'm all about the kids.
Zadia, that was glory. That was powerful. I was like, oh, and she just came up the cuff. Come on here, Free.
I'm all about the kids, guys.
Come on here, Free. Listen, y'all, we are back with another heart-filled episode today. Absolutely. We got the crew in the building, y'all. I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm Zania.
She done went to another key.
she went to one of the black keys. Jay,
okay. Wait till
Pastor Jay face. She was like,
come here.
Listen, y'all. Man. This is Shift Real Talk, man.
Yeah, and this is
what we do. We have fun. We love our team, man. This is an awesome show. Today's topic today is really heartfelt because, you know, I believe every one of us kind of went through this, man. Not every one of us, but a lot of us have went through a situation similar because not only have I been the kid that went through it, I was the parent that went through it. So I'm sure a lot of us have, you know, and you know, we kind of talked about it today in the shop, man. You know, we were just talking about how, you know, today's parenting is totally different, man. And you know, a lot of parents today, not even just today, from people who came from, you know, yesteryears and our years, a lot of parents, even parents, man, they're dealing with wounds. So today, what we do is we raise our kids from protection of those wounds. And, you know, not only are the kids affected, but we are affected as parents. So, you know, we go into situations, man, you know, trying to be protective and doing what we know how to do. But in the same token, you know, we don't really understand what we're causing with the generation of children that's being, you know, that's being brought up today. You know, they're angry. You know, kids are angry today. You know, they're fighting with the teachers in school. You know, you can't tell them nothing. You know, we make excuses for their behavior, you know, because, you know, we don't want to deal with, nobody wants to deal with behavior. Nobody wants to deal with emotions. Nobody wants to deal with the truth of the emotions. And this is, it's causing pain.
And nobody want to deal with where it comes from, the root of it.
Yes.
It's the root of the anger and the frustration that these children are
Absolutely.
Having that we need to deal with. And
Absolutely.
That starts with the dilemma that we're talking about today. It's
Absolutely.
A child's dilemma. Like, what are these children going through in these broken homes?
That's right. Hey, Patricia, you caught us early today, girl. Good to see you, girl. We love you much. We love you much. So today, man, we're talking about torn between the two. But we got a letter. Before we get into the letter, you know, I just kind of want to share some things with you guys. You know, we have two powerful women on. I thank God that God surrounded me on this show with two powerful women. When I say powerful, they both are powerful in their own perspectives. And we thank God for them. And, you know, not only are they powerful, but they're prophets. And then they got a word for the day, for today's time for women. You know, that, listen, y'all, I really want y'all to really start, you know, expanding this chick talk to really getting a lot of women involved. A side note, but anyway, before we deal with the letter, I want to deal with this because this is dear to me. My son was supposed to come on today, and I understand, you know, because he was caught in between two parents that were trying to figure it out, and it was hard. It was hard. It was hard for me as the parent number two, and it, when I say it was hard. So I know at the end of the day, you know, he really explained that he's not even healed over it. And my son is a grown man now, and he's still dealing with the residuals of being caught in between two parents. And it bothered me, but I understand, you know, the only thing I could do was really like just go into prayer for him because, you know, this is what I was talking about last week, you know, how with my letter, this is the thing that it's kind of becoming tiresome for me because it's like at the end of the day, what I'm caught doing consistently is trying to be the parent that I can't clean it up only because only God can clean it up. But what I'm doing is I'm actually going through the process of his lack of because of what I couldn't be in his life. Yeah. So I'm going through the process of what, the damage, I'm going through it. And it's like, if I was allowed that opportunity to be there, you know, I couldn't prevent a lot of the stuff, but I believe a lot of the stuff would not be to what it is today if, you know, if he just even seen the get along, you know, if he seen of us working together, if he seen, you know, hey, it ain't, you know, your father's a liar or your father's this or your mother's this or your mother's that. And it's like, you know, that affects the kids, man, the arguing. Nobody wants to see two people that they love fight, first and foremost. And fighting doesn't necessarily mean physical. It can be arguing. No kid wants to see their two people that they love coming to the point where they are fighting.
Imagine that. That's their first storm.
That's their first storm.
That's the first hurricane they ever experienced. And it's a hurricane from within, not from without.
Yes.
Something they can't control. A natural disaster that they're feeling, and they're looking at it from a child's point of view. Children see a parent as super big. Like, they looking up to, oh my God, you know, these are my parents. They're little. They're going through something huge. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of going through, I don't think a lot of times as parents who are trying to figure it out or who's actually going through the pain of it all themselves looks down to pay attention to, wow, this is how I'm hurting my child. Because we too busy trying to self-heal and self-love and self that we hadn't thought about the child and what that child is experiencing. Go ahead.
And think about how confusing it is for the child, because first they have their own feelings and thoughts about each parent,
mm-hmm.
but then they see each parent having their feelings about the other parent, and they're sometimes made to feel how the parent feels about the other parent, and they don't want to feel that way, but yet it's like, is it true? How should I feel? Should I feel how I feel? Should I love what I see, or should I hate? My mom or dad says I should hate.
Yeah.
So it's so confusing for them because even in their growing, they're trying to understand their own emotions. And then now they have this world of emotions that's coming and it's not always theirs.
Absolutely.
Have you ever second guessed yourself? Like, you really know something is what it is to you. And all of a sudden you have to second guess yourself. That's what it is for those children. Like, I love my dad. I love my mom. But then you start second guessing yourself, like, but should I? Like, do I? Do I hear what my mom is saying about my dad and take that on as my feelings? But I have feelings of my own. So then they start pushing their own. And this is their first experience of pushing their own feelings aside.
Yeah, but look at it like this, too. Let's be honest here.
Okay.
The first behavior and the first level of knowing how to be, children learn that from their parents.
Absolutely.
You learn how this is the first relationship that you are introduced, and this is your parents. So if you introduce them a broken relationship, you know what you're introducing to your kid? Something that's broken. If you're introducing a fight to your kid, then what you're introducing to your kid is fighting.
Abuse.
So
yeah.
What most kids that see fighting, what they do is they either run from a fight or they become very confrontational.
Fighter.
Yeah, because this is the behavior that they learn unknowing. Mm-hmm. And they develop this pattern of behavior because this is what they see. And they model what they see because you gotta look at it like this. They go through 18 years of this. That's a long time to be watching a behavior. Mm. 18 years. First of all, I said this before, kids' minds, the mind of a kid is the fastest growing organ in the body. Yeah. So this is the thing that you're developing at an early age. You're developing fighting them. You know what I'm saying? So what they're going to be is like what me, as a kid, I saw abuse. And not only did, when it came to time when I saw fights, it was either I was the one causing it or I was the one that didn't want to be bothered with it. I backed up from it. Like in relationship, when it came to fighting, I walked away and I went and found peace somewhere else. But when it came to like, when it's something that I want, I was going to fight for. So the fight was in me, but I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is a behavior that we are introducing to them because we are the model. You know what I'm saying? We are the model.
We're the model. That's true.
And here's another thing. There's a story. I believe it was Joseph. Joseph's brothers. Now, mind you, Jesus Lord, his dad had two wives, right? Mm-hmm. The first wife, he went through. It was rough. That situation was rough. You know what I'm saying? They went through a whole lot of stuff together, and which caused that behavior on the brothers. So they were really acting it out because what they raped the sister, they did a whole lot of stuff. So now when Joseph came around, when he was in a healthy relationship, his relationship with Joseph was coming from that healthy place. So this would made his brothers jealous and would say, who he think he is? You know, oh, he going to come prophesy on us. But he was developed from that healthy situation. And because he was the prophet, or he dreamed dreams, he was able to walk on the confidence that he had and not coming from that broken place, because his brothers could be coming from that broken place. They really wanted, they didn't like him at all. They couldn't stand him. They really couldn't stand him. They couldn't stand him. But here's the difference of being raised in a broken situation and a healthy situation. Joseph, what happened to him? He fulfilled his whole, he fulfilled his whole purpose coming from this healthy situation. And I'm not saying that a person can't fulfill or be their fulfillment, you know, being who they were called to be in a broken situation. But don't think that it's going to come with just being with ease, because it just didn't happen easy. You know, some things you got to go through, some things you got to filter through, some things you got to challenge yourself on. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. However, let's go back to the story of Joseph. If you really pay attention, Joseph wasn't raised up in a healthy environment.
His situation was way more healthier.
No, because Joseph was raised up with his father having one wife who he had to be with, you know, and another wife who he loved, which was Joseph's mother. So it wasn't a healthy environment.
That was healthier than the situation that he was coming from.
His dad just loved his mother more. But can you imagine how unhealthy the environment was to be caught in as a kid? My father has two wives, and the one that he really doesn't too much want to, he wasn't trying to be with her, but he got kids from her, and all of the kids grew up way before Joseph was born, and they were already like feeling some kind of way. Can you imagine how they felt knowing that their dad loved one wife, and he really, with my mom, you know, if you look inside, it's that broken home. So Joseph wasn't raised in a healthy environment. He was just raised in an environment where he knew his dad loved his mom.
And I was looking at it from an even deeper perspective that it wasn't healthy because his dad favored him more because he came from the wife he loved.
Right.
Than he favored his brother. So here he is, he thinking all is good, and his brothers hate him. They loathe him. But it's not him that they loathe. But they, because he is the object, and I hate to say object because he's a person, but because he is the object of that affection, yep. Then that's who they took it out on. So it wasn't healthy for him. And I think God set it up like that so that when he went through what he went through, when he was in the king in the king's house, in the palace, he was already prepared for that because he had already went through years of that with his brother. So that's why it didn't tear him down. Because he already went through that unhealthiness with his brothers now.
So check this out. Let's be, because y'all ain't being real here. Y'all are not being real. We're going to go there. But I love it. Okay, let's be honest here. Okay. Is it healthier to be in a situation when you are physically dealing with somebody, or you know what I'm saying, because this is the situation that you've been presented and you are just kind of dealing with it, and you emotionally, not even emotionally, you physically, because they had how many kids they had together?
12.
Oh, Jesus. But to be in a situation that you love, that you really adore, that this is not just about the physical. What is more healthier, to be in this situation, but that you're just here physically and you're having sex and you're doing everything outside, or being in a situation with somebody that you truly love?
You are such a man.
That you truly love. I'm not compartmentalizing. No, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Compartmentalize this, mister.
No, because that's the way I'm looking at it.
Exactly. Yes. Just like a man, you've compartmentalized it. You've taken
what's
one
more
situation.
Healthier?
No. You've taken one situation and you placed that situation with him and his one wife, the first wife. Yeah. What's her name? What was her name? Rachel and
Hagar.
No.
Not Hagar. I just heard Pastor talk about Hagar.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
Jesus,
place him with the one wife here and her kids. Yeah. You place Leah and Jacob over here with his kids. And then you took Joseph and his daddy and Benjamin, and you took them and put them in a whole nother compartment. They lived in the same house. They were all in there together. Think about it. If it was you, here you are.
But that's what they did back in the day.
Yeah, but
they all lived together.
But you acting like it was healthy. You acting like it was healthy. Listen.
Because that's what he was born out of.
Right.
He
was, unhealthy environment.
No. Okay, I guess I'm saying that because I had kids. Well, I didn't.
Think about it.
Wait a minute. No, I'm being honest, though.
That's fine.
All the kids that I had was not out of a love situation because I was in love with them. Every kid that I had.
But see, think.
Wait a minute. Hold on. It was because I was really trying to figure some things out.
Right.
So because of that, and I was trying to fill voids, I got myself in situations. So what came out of that was the broken home. What came out of that was the fighting.
But
what came out of that was
your situation. Let me throw a situation.
Can I say this?
Yes, please.
He's looking at it from the parent perspective.
And we're talking about the dilemma child.
Go ahead,
Zaini.
He never spoke from the perspective of Joseph. Okay, wouldn't you rather that you have a wife that this and you can have this and a wife? But what about
the
Joseph
kid who had to see all of this?
We didn't get to Joseph yet. But I'm just saying.
No, we did get to Joseph.
I'm about to get to Joseph.
You pulled Joseph in. You told the story of Joseph.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, look, I'm using that as an example to just really kind of go down the street of saying that it is much it is much more healthier to be out of a situation. This and it's my opinion. I really believe
that. To the period. Yeah. Go ahead.
I believe it is more healthier when because you'll do whatever it takes. But when you love somebody truly, when you truly love somebody, you'll do whatever it takes to make sure that this situation is what it's supposed to be because you love this person. But if you and the healthiness that comes behind that is because you're going to, and because you love this person, you're going to love whatever comes with them. You're going to love whatever you produce from this loving situation. You're going to love it. So that means you're going to do it. Whatever it takes to stay there, you're going to do it.
And you're talking about from what perspective, the adult or the child?
I didn't get to the child yet. I'm talking from the adult.
We're talking about a child's dilemma.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, but because of that, now what are the child looking at? The child is looking at this loving situation.
No.
The child is looking at and learning from, okay, the dad is doing whatever he need to do to love on my mother.
Wait,
the dad,
are we still talking about Joseph?
We talking about, I'm making a point here. Can I finish? Why you keep cutting me off? Let me make my point. Thank you. Yeah, let me get to the, let me get to the period. Comma. What are we talking about? Let me finish.
You're right. I was comma. Yeah.
Yes, you was comma.
My bad, period.
So I don't want to, I don't want to kind of bring up wounds or but because of what we have now, because of the pain that, and I'm just going to be real, because of the pain that I've experienced in having kids out of situations, you know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't say because at that point, I didn't really know what love was. I really didn't. Honestly, because I was young. And I'm coming from my point because I know what I did, what it caused the kid. So I'm going from that perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, so at that age that I had it, and I had my first kid when I was 18. I was 18 years old. I didn't know. I was out here trying to hang with the big boys and didn't want to look like I was, this young punk. And didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know what I was doing when it came physically. But that was the thing to do. It had nothing to do with how I felt about her. Because I honestly didn't love her enough to even be with her. But I liked her enough to have sex with her. So that was pretty much all of my situations. I couldn't even be fully who I was because I compartmentalize who I was to manipulate to be with this person. So if this person wanted me to be something else, boom, I did it just to say I got the draws. Just to say that. But when it comes to like my wife here, who I love dearly, it's unfortunate right now. I'm in my 50s, but I guarantee you, if I knew what I knew back then, what I knew now, I would have way more healthier situations because I would have did something. I would have did a whole lot of things different. I would have did a whole lot of things. I wouldn't even had sex. That's why I tell people now, if you don't have to do it, don't do it.
That's what I say too.
Don't do it. Hold from the intimacy.
Hold your goodness.
Hold it. Yes. Because what you're doing is you're actually confusing and making it worse than what it is. And because you're chasing certain things, then now you're having kids out of emotions, and this is what you're raising them out of, this emotional situation.
Yeah.
So
keep your good knees for your husband, ladies. Because when you get older, baby, somebody come and steal them good knees and leave you some other knees, and you be hearing pops and cracks. Leave your good knees for your husband. If you can, while you're dating, do not have action and relations before marriage. God will bless you. Trust me. He will bless you for waiting.
The good knees. Them good knees still go bad when you get older.
Yeah, but at least them good knees won't have a lot of miles on it. Amen. Amen. All right. So we want to go ahead and read the letter. Y'all want to go ahead and jump into that?
Okay.
Okay, because I thought this was interesting, and it's interesting, but it's so normal. I hate to say normal. So let's read it. And this is from a child's perspective. Crazy part, a child that has grown up enough to write a letter. Here we are. Dear Shift Real Talk, my sister and I were raised by our mom in a one-parent home, and it's been tough emotionally. One minute she's praising us, the next she's tearing us down. It's confusing and it's hurtful and we always walking on eggshells. Lately, I've been thinking about my dad. I've never met him, but people outside the family say he's a good dude. My mom paints a completely different picture, though. She's angry, bitter, and full of hate toward him. I want to get to know him, not to disrespect her, but to understand where I come from. Still, I feel torn between the loyalty I have for my mom and the curiosity I have about my dad. I just want peace and clarity, but I don't know how to get there without causing more pain to my mother. What should I do? Sincerely, torn in two.
You sure it ain't my kid?
It's so many of our kids, babe. It's so many of our kids.
I got two right now that I can put. You sure? I want to know who wrote this letter.
It's no name. It's just torn in two. And that's so amazing that the child signed torn in two. Not torn between the two. Torn in two. Pulled apart. And that's what happens when these children have to go through this abuse between seeing their mother emotionally this way and their father that way, or having to look through the eyes of adults when they should be looking through the loving eyes of children at their parents. Torn in two.
You know what happens too? I don't care what. I'm writing a little thesis on my life, and what I come to realize is, and I've seen this happen a lot, like parents, sometimes parents may not be the picture of a parent that we may have seen or we may think. You know, sometimes our parents may be alcoholics. Sometimes our parents may be crackheads. Sometimes our parents may be weed smokers. But no matter what, at the end of the day, that is your parent.
We love them.
You love your parent. No matter what comes with them, no matter the shortcoming, no matter the struggle, no matter what it is, the kid loves the parent. Mm-hmm. And you have this, no matter, even I've seen this dude love his dad so much, and his dad was drunk and he loved his dad. When his dad came around drunk and all, it was like he just lit up. But what happens is the parent, because we see that characteristic, then our goal is to make the parent look bad to the kid when the kid don't even look at the parent that way.
Yeah.
The kid don't look at the parent the way you see them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that could just be something that's triggered inside of you. But we know, and that's one thing I always admired about my wife. One thing she always did when it came to her son, she never, I don't care if he never was there, she never told her son, our son, she never told him that your dad, well, he's trying to get some things together. She never gave him her thoughts on him. She allowed him to come up with his own narrative. But the thing was, she waited till he got older to come up with that narrative, because now he's able to make a grown person decision and have his own relationship, but not have the relationship through the parent. And that's what we mess up at, because if we upset with the parent, then we want the kid to be upset with the parent, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You cannot change. You cannot turn the perspective of a kid on that parent no matter what that parent is, that's his idol. Yeah. That's my man.
And that's one thing about it. I love my son enough not to want to tear him in two. I don't want to damage my child because I'm damaged, because I made some choices. I don't want to damage him because he's going to grow up with that damage on top of all the other things he's experienced or trying to figure out. He's got to carry my mess and his daddy's stuff too. Nah, that's not a desire of a loving parent, that our children carry us and our pain in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take a minute. Go ahead, Zania.
Oh, I was going to say, that's why as parents, we have to be careful not to bleed out on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're thinking, oh, I'm just telling him the truth. I'm just telling her the truth. Mm-hmm. You don't know what your dad did. You don't know what your mom did. I'm trying to tell you how it actually went. But the thing is, in your truth is pain. And so what you're doing is spilling all your pain on your child.
On your baby.
And you expect your child to carry it. And your child's shoulders are not built to carry your pain because it's not even built to carry their own pain.
My goodness.
That's why you are responsible for them.
Yeah.
Because you're going to carry their pain. But what you're doing is saying, here, take my pain and carry that too. And you're wondering why your child is depressed.
Come on.
Or sad. Or sat in a room and won't come out.
Yeah.
Why you don't want to talk? Just talk to me. They can't because they have this flood of emotions that they don't even know how to express because it's not even theirs.
And then we grow up and dog each other out. We don't have grace for people no more. We dog each other out because you're not emotionally intelligent. Well, who taught me? You weren't in my home. You don't know what I went through. You don't know my experiences. I wasn't taught how to handle all of these emotions. And now as an adult, what we do is we rip each other apart and we come at each other because of the fact that we did not know how to grow in pain. It's ridiculous. We don't have that grace. But let's do this, guys. Let's look for a minute through the eyes of a child. This child is actually showing us an inside view as a parent we don't always see. He says one minute his mother is praising him, like big upping him, like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. And the next minute, based on her emotions, she's tearing them down. And then he says something that was interesting. It's confusing and hurtful. And all I heard was, God says, I'm not the author of confusion. So I didn't write that. Satan loves confusion. So right there, I see the spiritual warfare happening in this child's life. I'm very confused and I'm hurt. And it's coming from my mother. What y'all think about that?
I think it's sad. I went through this, man. I went through it. Man, I went through it. Gosh. And it bothered me. And, you know, as we talk about it, it's, you know, I'm healed from it, but it's just like I see what my kids go through. You know, one thing that I had to do, especially with my youngest son, I sacrificed so much to be in his life to make sure that I kept him away from the riffraff. So a lot of times, you know, living in Atlanta, it was a struggle at that time. You know, Mia, you know, it was a struggle. I had my son every day, every single day. And he didn't even know that I had nowhere to go. Like, he would leave. I would keep him in football practice. And this is only because I wanted his mind to be occupied outside of the struggle that me and his mother was going through. So I kept him busy. You know, so I would work enough to make enough money to stay for us to stay somewhere that night. And because we would stay in hotels, he thought it was fun. So he would invite the team, the football team. So I got 12 kids in the back of my car with nowhere to go. But I didn't tell him no because it was like I didn't want him to know that there was a struggle. Like, he didn't know that his mother had me in a chokehold. She had me in a chokehold. And it was like, yo, like he didn't even know. So I would take.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
All the kids, mind you, I don't know. Sometimes I will go to Mia. I need a man. You got some food? You know what I'm saying? And she boom. You know what I'm saying?
Was like that zany?
I was there.
You know, so it was like, yo, like I didn't have. He didn't know. Like, it was like, so when he got older and he graduated from high school, and he was like, yeah, Dad, I remember those days, man. You know, he started reminiscing on all, man, I had fun going to the hotels, man. I would take the team. And he was talking about it. And that was my opportunity. He's like, man, you know, that's where we had to go. I ain't had nowhere else to go. And he was like, I didn't know. I said, yeah.
But through the eyes of a child.
He said, I didn't know. I said, because that wasn't your business to know. I had to work that out. And I wanted to protect you from that.
Right.
So that it wouldn't be something that would bother you later on in the year.
Yeah.
So even when his mother did what she did to me, I took him away from that. Even when she said the things that she said to me in front of him, I took him away from that. You know what I'm saying? I took him totally away from that because that was something that I didn't want him to experience. So when he got to that point where he's telling me, he was like, yo, dad, like, you did that? Like, I didn't know. Like, wow. Like, and he stood up and he shook my hand and he hugged me. I'm sitting there crying like, man, yeah, man. You know, like, wow, you don't even understand the struggle, man. But I thank God that I thank God that my oldest son, well, not my oldest son, my middle son, that I learned from that experience because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I kind of like left them there, and I didn't do what I needed to do to, and I didn't do enough because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, mm-hmm. but it did teach me what to do when it happened to me again. Cause I put myself in the situation. It wasn't happening here. Okay. I'm gonna go over here and do it. I just making dumb decisions as a young man. I did not know. So I said all of that to say it's important as parents that we don't put the kids in the middle of our pain, put kids in the middle of our fight because, again, they're kids and they think from a kid's mind, well, an adult kid's mind, you know what I'm saying? They still think as kids because their experiences as kids. They, you know, we don't – the only thing that we should be teaching our kids is, you know, what a kid should learn growing up as a – adolescent coming into, you know, teenage years and, you know, allow them to live that life.
Yeah.
Don't rob them of that life that they, because these things, you know, I was able to teach my son lessons, you know, in playing football and in, you know, certain things that I had him in as a kid. And that's what I use. So the sacrifice was worth it. Me being without, it was worth it. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't do it again, but it was worth it for that time. And it was like, you know, it was painful, y'all.
Gotcha.
And what I remember about that time that, you know, I'm sitting here listening and thinking back because I was also comparing it to me as a child going through it with my mom and my dad. One thing that I can say is that even when you were talking amongst other adults, because I remember you coming to a mutual friend's house, I'm being there, you would bring your son there after football practice or whatever. Mm. And he's, you know, he's laughing. He thinking everything fun. Like, yeah, we just going to have a visit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would see you go off in a corner with the mutual friend and have an adult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see your face change. But when your son came around, it went back to smiles no matter what mm-hmm. y'all was talking about.
Yep, yep.
So you never even gave him an inkling of an idea that yep. you were hurting.
Yep.
Even though the adults in the room knew.
Mm-hmm.
how painful it was for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think back to my mom because my mom, you know, she did the same thing when we came in the room. She thought she was hiding it. She thought she was covering it. But we would hear her phone conversations with my father. We would hear the arguments. And so where she would tell us, oh, it's okay. You know, it's going to work out. It's fine. You know, try to make us not think anything about my dad. It was still confusing because that's not the conversation we heard on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So even that, we as adults, we have to realize that we have to be mindful of even when we're in the environment with our kids, we're thinking they're not hearing, but they are. So Pastor Jay, I applaud you for real because mm-hmm. when I say you hit it, he didn't have a clue.
You have a clue. He
did. An idea. And, yes. you know, even though y'all were in separate rooms or whatever, he didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
But like I said, we have to be careful as adults because a lot of times we think that we're hiding it because we're in a different room or whatever, but our kids still can hear it.
Yeah. And it's important because even though I felt like she was doing me under, not even just felt like that. It was some things that she did that did me under, but I would never let him know. I had to get that outlet. So, and even in them times where, because he wanted to be around me all, because I'm the fun dad, you know, I'm going with dad. Dad, come pick me up. Even when he was home, dad, can you come pick me up? Zion, you home with your mama right now? Nah, dad, can you please come get me? All right, boom. Tell your mama I'm coming to get you. I will go get him. Stop what I'm doing. Go get him. And, you know, and the crazy part was I would go get him not knowing where we going. Not knowing, but I would make a phone call. And that's one thing God always did. Oh, God, I think. When I think about it now, it's like God always had somewhere for me to take him. And every place that I took him was like something, a place where it didn't look like I didn't have nowhere to go. Amen. Everywhere that I took him, it was like, y'all come over tonight. And you know what? I'm going to cook for y'all. And y'all just stay there. I'm going to make this room for y'all. And it'll be with one of his friends. And it'd be like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't know what we was going to do. Right. And it's like every time. And the thing is, when we make it about the feelings that we're going through, and when we make it about what the other parent is doing or what the other parent is not doing, we don't even realize how God can protect us even in those situations. So we forget about, wow, like this is even though it's my journey, but he's in this journey with me. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we don't depend on God, because I remember times where I didn't even have it. I didn't even have gas money, yet alone food money, to feed him. Now, mind you, I didn't just have him, but I was forced to take care of my nephew, which wasn't even my responsibility. And I had him. So I never just had my son. I always had my son and.
And God still took care of everything. It may not have been ideal, but I love the fact of how he saw it, too. His perspective was, we having fun. I'm with my dad.
Yeah, we having fun. I'm with my dad.
And that's beautiful. And I feel like that's what children need to see. They don't need to see.
They don't need to see the drama.
People say,
well,
you ain't being real with them. No, you are.
You're helping them to be a kid.
To have their own life, yes, and their own narrative about what life is.
Absolutely.
And not carry on the burden at such a young age of adulthood. Now, let's go back to the letter a little bit, because this young person really wants help. This young man says, what should I do? So, okay, what advice would you give to this young man? He's in your chair, Pastor Jay. He's about to get his hair cut. And you say, hey, man, what's going on? And he tells you what you heard in this letter. He been thinking about his dad. He want to get to know his dad. His mom feel betrayed. You know, he thinks his mom will be betrayed by him if he goes out. He just want to know where he come from. He don't want to disrespect his mom. He loves her. He don't want to cause her any pain. But he knows and feels that there's something missing in his own life. He want to know what he should do so that he can get that piece of his life, you know, back.
I believe it's important that As kids that are going through this type of situation, and I'll read you a comment in a minute, Patricia, hold tight. I think it's important that you talk to somebody. Talk to somebody that you trust. You know what I'm saying? Because if you are left to these devices to deal with by yourself, then you'll never be able to navigate them, and it's going to cause even a level of anger at your mom because she's talking bad about my dad. Or, you know, and whatever's being portrayed to you when you actually find out the truth. Because no matter what, like Patricia's saying, the kids going to find out who's doing what, who ain't doing what, who's saying what, when they start experiencing life and really understanding that, hold on, wait a minute, everything that was told to me was not true. Like, wait a minute, no, he may have lied to you, but he don't lie to me like that. Or she may have did this, but she don't do that to me. So I just believe it's just important to not go through it by yourself. Like talk to somebody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Somebody, if it's a pastor, you know what I'm saying? Talk to somebody that could help navigate you through your thoughts when it comes to being in the middle of or being torn in between the two. That you may have to find the three to not be torn in the two. Because being torn in the two, you may not even get, and I know my son right now, he's not even allowed to deal with the truth. Because his mom is not ready to deal with the truth. His mom is not ready to deal with the truth. So to get that conversation from her, it probably won't happen until she heals. You know what I'm saying? So, again, you got to deal with somebody who's a neutral party or maybe not even know the situation but can kind of give you some sound advice, point you to God or, you know what I'm saying, go to God. Talk to somebody. I just say talk to somebody outside of that.
You know, gotcha. Zany?
And I would say, you know, Pastor Jay is right. There are circumstances where you need a third party. But I would say if this young man can, start with your mom. Start by just having a simple conversation. Because sometimes parents are just not aware, right? Like I said, in their mind, they're thinking, I am telling the truth. I'm telling you what's going on. So they're not aware that they are making their child feel some kind of way. Mm-hmm. They think they're educating their child. You know, I'm giving you knowledge. So I feel like if he can, to actually talk to his mom, tell her how she, you know, he feels about what she says. And also, I would say when you go, be empathetic and sympathetic with your mom. Because, again, this is a true pain. Mm. This is a true experience for your mom. So, you know, to don't just dismiss it as if it's not true because it's not your truth. Be sympathetic, empathetic, but also let your mom know, but mom, it's hurting me how you're conveying it. I would rather not know these things about my dad because maybe one day I will see it like you see it, but right now I don't. And I respect you for how you see him because that is your pain and that's your experience with him, but that's not my experience with him and I don't see him like that. And then see if your mom could move her pain on the side for the love she has for you. So give her that opportunity.
And in the event that that's not the case, I think it's time for us to start helping children to understand that we can't control the actions or the pain of someone else, but we still have to be honest. So I would tell him, listen, go to your mom, have that conversation. Acknowledge the fact that she may still speak out of her pain. It may be a moment where she just really not gonna give you what you need. But allow her to do what she will with her emotions. They're hers. She gonna feel some kind of way. So go in knowing that.
But
at least when you leave, you will have been honest about how you feel as well. And your mom will know. And it could be that she'll think about it later after processing it and realize, wow, okay. But if you never say anything at all based on the fact that you're scared that she may react a certain way, she'll never, ever even have that thought or that seed planted.
Yeah, but and I hear both of you saying talk to the mother. But remember, when you are on two different extremes, praising and then dogging out at the same time, those two traits right there are manipulation. That's a level of manipulation.
Yeah.
So how can you go to somebody who's truly controlling the situation from where they are? You know, after two, so that's why I say it's easier to talk to somebody else who could convey your true feelings. Because right. sometimes being at two different extremes, you may even think that the kid don't even know what they're talking about because you just don't know.
But
you don't
see,
know.
It's not about what's easier; it's about what is necessary. Okay, yeah, it'll be right. easier to talk to a third party. But it's necessary to talk to the parent. We don't teach the kids that, okay, even though it's going to be hard, this needs to happen. Okay? Even though you might not like the words that she say, remember that what she's saying, she's speaking through a place of pain. So you may not be able to take everything she's saying to heart. So you teach that child how to deal with difficulty in emotions instead of teaching them to go do it the easiest way. Because, Pastor Jay, you are...
I'm not saying it's
okay,
easy like that.
Period,
okay.
You are a man that does not like confrontation. I know that when it comes to relationship, you don't like confrontation. So for you, the advice will probably be what's easier to go do this. But for me, I'm a person that likes to hit it straight to the head. I want to have that conversation because I had to understand that, yeah, people gonna get angry. People will get upset, but I can't run from that emotion. I have to learn how to live and deal with that emotion head on, and that's the only way healing will come is if you know, yeah, she gonna get mad. You have to know those who you are around. She gonna get mad. She's gonna say this, and she may la da 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 da. But I have to be honest with her anyway and help her understand. That's how you break the bonds of manipulation. You go and be honest, and you live in a place where your truth matches what the Word of God says. You train up a child in the way they should go. So that child needs to be trained. But if that child can't be trained by that mother out of that pain, that child needs somebody to tell them, listen, say it anyway. Say it anyway.
You think I'm saying it from being easy, but what I'm saying, sometimes you got to be wise and you got to be smart. I've been in a situation. Trust me, I got the T-shirt. I got the T-shirt. I've seen my son be honest with his feelings and get punched right in the face. I've seen it happen. So sometimes it is not. It ain't even about being easy. It's about how can you get this message across and it be received. You know what I'm saying? Because again, you remember, this child represents the very thing that you're talking against. And don't let it be a son and it's a woman who the son reminds her of this dad that she didn't talk bad about. So if you coming to me, then all you doing is triggering what I'm sitting here saying that this nigga ain't no good about it. And you going to say that what? Bow. I've seen it happen. Sometimes it's good to, even if it's a pastor or somebody, to come to help to get the message across. So I'm not saying it's easier, but it may be wiser. It just may be just wiser for that moment.
I get your situation.
But Pastor Jay, that's what I was saying. If you heard me, I said if, because we don't know that, you don't know that person's who wrote the letter situation.
Right.
I don't disagree with you, because if you have that type of mom that you know how she will respond, absolutely back up, you know, and get a third person. But that's not always the situation. And I'm speaking as someone who actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a child, I've always been different from my siblings. Like, if I want to know, I'm going to ask. You know, as I grew up and got older, then I start being more reserved. But as a child, I asked. If it came to my mind, I asked. So I asked my mom questions about her and my dad's relationship and why it was like it was and why he treated me like he treated me. And she gave me the best answer she could without, you know, talking bad about him. And then when I became a teenager and I still wanted to know, I just don't get it, why he treated me like he treated me. She said, go ask him. And so guess what? I went and I had a conversation with him and I asked him, why you treat me like you treat me? You know? So yes, I do think there are times where you need to go to your parents. And when I asked my dad, it was your mom this, your mom that, your mom. That was fine. You want to know why? Because I expected that. Not only did I expect it, but it also showed me, okay, Mia, now this is how you need to handle this situation emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you need to handle the relationship you have with your father. That's what it showed me. But if I had not had that conversation, it'll always been that confusion in my mind of the why. I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? Let's kill the confusion that's going on within.
The confusion within. Answers. Yeah.
And the difference here, too, I hear what you're saying, which is so key. But the difference here is I really truly believe gender plays a part here in this situation. Because as a woman, as a young lady, as a daddy's little girl or mommy's little girl, you're going to always be mommy or daddy's little girl. But when it's a boy,
I was neither.
When it's a boy, I just seen more when it's a man or a boy, and that boy reminds, but trust me, cause.
But it's from what you said, I just seen. So it's from your, it's,
no,
it's from
I, no, what I've seen that seen. Happen a lot.
And
even
that's fine.
A lot, when, especially when it comes to boys.
I understand that. And we're not mm-mm. taking away from the fact that yes, in your, it's amazing because both of you are talking to different children. Zania is talking that's to right. that particular child. You're talking to the other child. Now, for the child whose mama smacks the face or whatever the case may be, I would say just like at a restaurant, they have that little comment bucket, that little thing where you put the comment in and that's the only way they can see that they need to do better. If the mother doesn't ever know, she'll never know.
No, I understand
so
that.
So what I'm saying is if you can't say it verbally, you might want to write a letter. You might want to go to God, baby. Get on your knees and say, dear God, I really want to talk to my mama about mm-hmm. what's going on with me, but I don't know how. I'm about to write a letter. Help me to write it so that she'll hear it and break up her heart, the hard parts, so that she can see it. It can get down in her heart so she can really see me. And then write that letter, baby.
I got you.
And then go to and slip it under her door or however you want to do it and allow her the moment to read it by herself you. Without your face being involved.
Patricia did saying the same thing that I'm saying. She said sometimes the parent will take it out on the child because they look like the other parent.
That is true.
And nine times out of the ten, come on, y'all, I need y'all to really be honest here. Nine times out of ten, when the mama is dogging the daddy out, first of all, that child looks just like that dad because the dog out just didn't start after the kid was here. That dog out started, I'm telling, way before then. It started way before then. And when that's who the child come looking out like when you dogging that the other parent out. And I've seen it even in the situation where I kept my son away from the stuff. He looks exactly like me. And he got in trouble for this looking like me. He got in trouble.
Understood. But what tell that child?
I kept him away from it. What? And when he got older, then he was able to deal with it on his own. But being in the midst of it now, you got to use wisdom.
Okay, so we're not talking about your child now. We're talking about the child that's sitting in your chair. That child came to you. You're the third person. Mm-hmm. What do you tell that child?
Do you need to, you tell them now, do they need to portray this message? Because what I would do would, I would be an advocate for the child and talk to that mother. I would do that because guess what? I can at least get the point across that the child is saying. And that is being aware. That's what I'm saying. So sometimes it's not good for the kid to go talk to that mother when, again, this child is triggering.
I get it.
He's triggering. But don't come at me. You look like your daddy. Don't get out of here with that. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I done seen it happen with not just my kids, I've seen it happen with kids that do come in my chair and talk about it. These mothers don't play.
So basically, you're telling this young man, find you an advocate, somebody that you trust, that you can talk to that could possibly be that mediator.
That mediator, exactly.
For your parents. Yes. But, okay, gotcha. I definitely understand.
Yes.
And agree.
Sometimes it's not just wise for the kid to go up to the mother by themselves because guess what? You'll look like that disrespect. You already saying he ain't this and he ain't that. And the kid coming to tell his feelings about it, you know what you sound like? The dad that was coming to tell how he felt about certain things and all you doing is triggering that pain. So sometimes it's just not wise to just go as the kid to go talk to the...
But to get your wisdom, you have to get it from the person that the wisdom comes from.
No, true. I get it.
So we have to teach our children too. It's never too late. The kids learn. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We teach our kids how to pray early. Teach them that prayer is still relevant. Ask God for how to handle it. Ask him to send somebody your way that can advocate for you. Ask him to teach you how to write that letter. But in all cases, make sure it's addressed in some way.
So, This took me back because, Pastor, I never disagree with you. That's what I was trying to tell you. I agree with you. There are cases. But this took me to a show I watched. I was watching Iyanla Fix My Life. Mm-hmm. And it was the episode when those men was having like 30 kids, 16 kids. Like the same man was having all these kids. So she had an episode where she had rounded up a whole bunch of men who was just making babies. And they had a young guy. I think he was in his 20s or early 30s. And he had...
Wait a minute. Wait.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear.
You froze for just a second. Okay.
Sorry. He was in his 20s. He had already started having multiple kids. And his mom started crying because she said he had tried to kill himself. Mm-hmm. Just took a whole bottle of pills. And I'm not trying to make this longer drawn out, but in that show, Iyanla made them stand side by side and she made her apologize to him and him apologize to her. And he recalled the time when he took the bottle of pills, she walked in the house from work, looked at him and said, I hope you die. And he was hurt by that. Even though their relationship is better now, she said she had to get saved because she watched her dad mistreat her because he lived the same thing. And because she hated men, she hated her son. Mm. It wasn't just the fact that he looked like his dad. She hated men. And her son was a reminder of the hatred she had for men because of what she had endured in life. So that, you know, you saying that remind me, because he could not go to his mom. He said that, you know, even talking to her, I couldn't come to you because of the things that you would tell me. Mm. It's like you didn't want me around. No matter how he said, no matter how much I came home every day and cleaned the house, did everything right so you could be proud of me, it was never enough for you. Yep. You would find something wrong.
That's true. That is so true.
So that just reminded me of that.
That is so true, because every woman that I came across that had that bitterness had that very same thing. Had that. It was that very reason. They were angry with their father. Their dad didn't treat them right, or they saw their dad treat their mother a certain way. So these women grew up with that anger. And what we don't do, and I know it's the kid, but again, we got to really, this is why I'm an advocate of, if you don't, while you're dating, please refrain from sex.
Yes.
Because you don't know what you're intertwining with.
Yes.
You don't know what you're coming against. Just to be up with society's standards of this is what relationship is, you're intertwining yourself with somebody who doesn't like the fact that they seen their daddy treat their mother bad, or you got with somebody who didn't, their daddy wasn't there and they're angry, so you go make a baby with this angry person, when I say angry, they're angry, and all it takes is something little to trigger. Sex don't trigger nobody. Sex only triggers the good emotions, but everything else that you do triggers these things that we bury deep inside. So yeah. We got to be very careful, because this is what happens. So now, like you said, this is what happens. Now it's hard for this young man. Even sometimes, I done seen it happen with daughters, because you still, as a daughter, telling me your feelings, and all you doing is triggering the hate that I have. I got this hate, and I promise you, I've seen it happen. So I know I said gender, but I seen it happen with some mothers and their daughters. Trust me, I seen it. Mm-hmm. And it came up with these daughters. I seen I won't even put it out there like that, but I've just seen some stuff where this woman was just that hateful, where she, her daughter was even, you know what I'm saying? And you would never think that. You would never think that, but that's the root of where it comes from. That's the root of where it comes from.
Oh my.
Even fathers with daughters. That's why I say you can't put a gender
on
it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Because you're right.
It definitely is just brokenness, because my daughter had to experience that with her father, because she looks just like me.
Mm-hmm.
He told her some very hateful stuff that she would either end up dead, raped, or in jail.
Mm.
And she wasn't even a bad child.
Mm.
Wow.
It's just the hatred.
Well, y'all listen, in the end, we have to understand that the only person that can fix a broken heart is God.
That's right.
So even in the midst of everything we're saying, and I know we've run out of time, but in the midst of everything that we're saying, we must point people back to the one who can help them. Because that mediator can only do but so much. That letter can only do but so much. Your words can only do but so much. But when you put it in the hands of God, he'll add the increase. And increase is what cultivates and grows a situation into something healthy. So if you want health, you got to get it where it is. It's in the hands of God.
Amen. Real quick, y'all. Next Monday, I'm so excited. We got couples that are committing to being a part of this marriage class. Please, y'all. Please, next Monday, register for the marriage class. This is an enrichment and empowerment class, bringing back the fire to our relationships. We're trying to bring it back to the way that God ordained it to be. We invited some couples that are looking to be married. So we got some people that are committing to come. So listen, next Monday, we're going to be sending out the link this week. We're getting with Zania today, tomorrow. We're going to do it tomorrow. And we're going to send out this link. And we're going to send this link out this week, y'all. So listen, register for the class.
It's a five-week course.
We're going to try to do it in three, but if not, you know what I'm saying, we're going to do it at, and then we're going to celebrate it at the end, and we're going to do something real nice for everybody that complete this course, man. But
yes,
it's going to be real nice. So y'all going to register for this class. Register for this class.
Y'all, until next week, thank you guys for joining us here on Shift Real Talk Podcast. We love you. We just want to bring you up people into a place of health in their relationships, because we know it exists.
Just real quick, we're before you say that. Real quick. Patricia, thank you. She said, amen, put the hands of God and let him lead you. Thank you, Patricia, for, man, thank for you, rocking Patricia. With us. I saw Felicia Amen. On earlier. I saw Gladys, you know what I'm saying? Thank you.
We love you guys.
We love you guys, so man. Much. We didn't get a chance to shout out you guys. And I mean, because this...
It got
this,
intense.
This is a passionate man, you know, yeah. Pastor Jay. I've seen it. I've been it, and I've been in it, and I've been it from both sides. Right. And this is...
It's, and y'all, let's take real. A moment to pray for our kids.
Yes.
Let's pray for them that yeah. God and let's will pray
for the
them.
Parents, too. Let's pray for the parents. Parents.
Amen.
Pray for yes. the parents.
So with that being said, y'all, share. Share this content. Like it. Smash the love button. Because we want you to be a part of what Shift Real Talk is doing. We want you to be there in the midst of it. We want to hear your comments. And we want to feel your love. So... We thank you guys so much for joining us today, and we want to see you next week. Same bad yeah. channel, same bad place. I'm your girl, Lady Free.
I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And I'm Zany Young.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.